We are at the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines in the bottom. Ben Shana Shaul B'Molchai. Continuing to speak about some of the things related to Shaul HaMelech. We mentioned this famous statement of Rav Huna about Shaul Ba'achas V'Olsalai and David B'Shtayim V'Lei Olsalai, that Shaul did one thing wrong and it cost them the Malchus. David did two things wrong and it didn't cost him the Malchus. And we mentioned the Pshat of the Mashah, that it wasn't Chas V'Shalom favoritism, but it's that David immediately regretted and immediately was Chesed V'Tshuva, and therefore he had a special Siyata B'Shmaya in doing what he's doing. So we mentioned, the Pasuk says, Ben Shana Shaul B'Malchai. So the simple understanding of the Pasuk seems to say that Shaul was a year old when he assumed the throne. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Huna, Kiben Shana. He was like a one-year-old. Shalai Tam Tam Chet. Meaning he was a perfect tzaddik, B'Shas Maisa, notwithstanding what we mentioned, that there were two things which he did wrong. One was that he had Rachmanis on Agag and on the Maid of Hatzain and so on. And it was for that, it was about that Maisa that Hashem said, Nicham Tikim Lachti Es Shaul. Then there was the other mice of Noiv Irakahanim, which happened even after Hashem decided that he was going to lose the Malchus. But beforehand, he was a perfect tzaddik. Shlei tam tam chet. That is the way Rav Huna understands the Pasuk. Now here we have a fascinating Gemara. Now we know that when you have psukim, especially where there's a certain ambiguity in the Pasuk, and we start to try and darshan, does it mean this, does it mean that? And, you know, maybe it means like this, maybe it means like that, and that is all correct, and one is allowed to do that, and one uses the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayin and Drashas Behen, and Svaras, and so on. So, Bechara Maskev L'Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Why are you translating, explaining, that when the Pasuk says he was 1 year old, which clearly doesn't mean, is not to be taken literally, it means that he was like a tzaddik, Shlei Tom Tam Chet, maybe it means like a one-year-old who is wallowing in filth. So maybe you could understand it like that. Maybe that's the way to understand it. Actually, tam tam chait. So the Gemara says, "Achviu lei l'Rav Nachman siyuta the chelmei." The Gemara says they showed to Rav Nachman siyuta. Rashi says, Siyuta is Malachei Pachad Mavhilomoisoi. He saw scary angels in his dream. Meaning, and he realized that I was wrong, I was incorrect for making this suggestion. Achviyu Leiler Nachman Siyuta Behelme. That's what they showed him. So Omar, he said, Nenese Lechem Atzme Shol Ben Kish. So he said, you know, I've answered to you, Shol Ben Kish, to the bones of Shol Ben Kish. Meaning I realized what I've said was incorrect and I misspoke and I apologize, so to speak. But the way he addressed him was Shaul ben Kish, Hader Chazas Siyuta B'Chalmei. Once again, he saw these Malachim in his dream and he said, I'm an Anesilchem Atzmei Shaul ben Kish Melech Yisrael. So he added on the title of Melech Yisrael and he never had this reoccurring dream. Now, the Iri says over here, very interesting. He says, what do we take from this Gemara? He says, La'olam ye adam nizhar shol safer acha mitasi shol chacham e melech e nechbad u ben mala. The person should be very careful not to say anything disparaging about such an individual. Shol haske be'in yanov shum gnus. Don't say anything derogatory. Elader covered. Kishem shekibdu b'chayev kein yichbadu hu b'maysay. And he says, look at this. V'afke sheyera alav davar hatzorach pirush v'yesh ladunu l'shvach e'lignai yehe machriyas ha'pirush l'chvoidei o l'shabchei v'le l'gnusei derech ha'ara. Where do we see this? Amru ben shana shol b'malchei Amru v'huna, he was leitam tam chait. But Nachman says, no, maybe he's meluch lach batit. Kalimisha hayam mali avonis umitich tach nema alav. Chaz Rav Nachman Siyuta Bechelmei Kleimer Ritzuas Mardus Habal Hal Koisei. And therefore he realized his mistake. So the one thing which I think is yet to be fully understood is, well, I mean, we all know, Eila told us now, Noach, Ish Tzadik Tomei Mahayev, the race of Yeshu Darshan Mashvachu, Yeshmi Rabbi Seinu Darshan Mashvachu, Yesh Darshan Magnai, as Rashi quotes. We don't find over there, you know, this discussion that you're never allowed to darshan lignai. I mean, usually the pshat is there's a certain ambiguity. Nech ish tzadik tamim haya b'derisov. So what's the dik? Is it dafka? You would have been a bigger tzadik. You would have been a lesser tzadik. But you know, there is room to darshan. Otherwise, I mean, there has to be some difference as to why over there it's permitted, notwithstanding the ambiguity of the darshan lignai. And here, when there's an ambiguity, it says he was like a one-year-old. So we say, oh, you have to darshan that he's a one-year-old, Agavid, he's like a tzaddik, and not like a one-year-old who's wallowing in filth, which means mali avonis. It wasn't that Rav Nachman was like looking to kind of incriminate Shaul and so on. He just, you know, it says one-year-old, so I don't know, just it needs a gether. I mean, obviously there must be some type of a chilek, but, you know, yesh lain, what exactly is the chilek, and when are you entitled to do, like we find in Nech, and when must you do, like the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chav Beis.
Doesn't mean full of averus.
Correct. Doesn't mean full of averus, but okay.
That's
but the lashon of Chazal, the question being asked is, it doesn't say that he was full of averus. It just says relatives his generation. But the lashon of Chazal is lignai. Still calls it lignai. That's what it says. Lo ha'inech shov leklum. Right, and the lashon of Chazal is lignai. Right. But it's still the lashon of Chazal is still lignai. The Miri says you're not to say lignai. Says you're not to be specifically use that lashon of gnai, not to be megana. And Chazal say they dash in lignai. So maskim, it's not the same thing, but still needs.
And what's the halakha that shol is full of averus? That seems bizarre.
Why?
What's the halakha that shol was full of averus?
The question is, what's the halakha that shol was full of averus? I don't know. Do you know what shol was like before he ascended the throne? We don't
necessarily. Kind of shol is above everyone.
Okay, so there are certain things which say that he was mishich mevelamala, but we don't necessarily know. I mean, Chazal, you know, just like Chazal in one subtlety of one word and one letter, Chazal can, you know, dash in something which we had no idea, and all of a sudden, Chazal dash in that this is what happened. You know, I don't know, but that.
Was sent to anoint him as king of the Jewish people.
Is that the question that they're asking on Rav Nachman? You know, what's your Havamino? I don't know if they're asking that question.
Oh,
that's a different question. I'm asking a different question. I'm just asking in one's ability to, you know, when is one entitled to do so? You're saying Sam Nechateisa. I hear. Good. I'm reviewing Mishmul. What's the reason why the Malchus of Shaul was not Nimshach? Now we know to a certain extent that that the Malchus has to be from Shevet Yehuda, and there are those who say that that's the reason why it was kind of doomed from the start. So that's also something which needs to be understood in light of that statement. But our Kabbalim says the Gemara Mnemar leNimshach Malchus beShaul, Mnei Shleihaya beShum Doifi. Amazing thing. Because there was no doifi. There was no kind of shortcoming. There was nothing. There were no skeletons in the closet. There was no embarrassment whatsoever to the lineage, the genealogy, the yichus of Shaul. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok. An amazing din. An amazing thing. Ein mamidin parnes ala tzibor elem kein kupa shal shratzim tluya boi ma'achayrov. You can only be mamana parnes ala tzibor unless, literally, there is a basket of shrotzim, of creepy crawlies, which is hanging behind him. Meaning to say, he has something unpleasant in his past, in his family's past. She'im tazuach daiti alav, if he's misgoyah, then imrim loy chazor lacherecha. We will say, you know, look behind you. You know, you are being misgoyah. We know that it's what Chazal say about the Parnas, who's misgoyah latzibor, is a terrible thing. So it's good that there should be a modicum of humility and something inbuilt within the leader that he needs to look no further than behind him, so to speak, to remind him of his humble beginnings. And we know that, you know, Malchus Beis David, you know, there were aspects of this and we know the Malach HaMashiach, and as they come from and came from Rus and ultimately from the Bnei Zloit and so on. So there wasn't this concept by Shaul, and that's the main of Rav Shimon ben Yehudzalek. Amr Yudah Amr Rav Neiman Nana Shaul. Why was he Nanash? Rashi says Nana Shaul means lovely day davar Shaalov Nital Nimenu Malchus. Very interesting. Meaning that what kind of enabled him to come to this state, that because of that he lost the Malchus. In other words, we said, when did Hashem say him? When did Shmuel say b'shem Hashem, Nicham Tikim Lachti Ashol? It's when he did not kill Agag like he was Nitzdava to do so. But what caused Shaul to reach that stage that he didn't? They didn't have the strength of character to go and wipe out everyone and wipe out the Tzayin and so on. So Amar Yudah Maram Nema Nenash Shaul Menish Mochel Al Kavoidoy, meaning because originally he was Mochel Al Kavoidoy, which we know Melech is not allowed to do. Shinema, because it says Uvnevali Al Amro Maya Shienu Zeh, meaning at the very beginning of his Malchus, which we quoted yesterday, I think we weren't so clear exactly the Psukim. We quoted the pasuk of that Asalimnesis Yisrael Afilud Var Mitzvah Vifkadeim Bebozik, that's when he went to battle against Amon. So originally at the beginning there were some people who said, like, who is this Shaul? What's he going to do for us already? What's he going to be able to save us? They didn't bring him any gift because they didn't have any trust or respect for him. And he was quiet. And he went and he battled against Nachash HaMayini. Rashi says, Maskana de Milsa, and he emerged victorious. And what had happened, there were a lot of people who said disparaging comments about Shaul's ability. He says, Rashi, Maskana de Milsa, Sha'amri Yisrael, Mi Ha'imer Shaul, Yimlech Aleinu, Bitzmiah, those ones who said, Bitzmiah, what, the Shaul is really going to be the king over us? So whoever said that, says the Bach, they said, Tnu es wanashim, unamisem, and we will kill the people who said these comments about you. Vuhu Omar, and Shaul said, Ayumosi shayoyim azeh, no one should die. It's okay, no problem. So says Rav Yudah Merav, so because he kind of allowed, he didn't have that strength, he was mochel on his covered when they were mevaze him originally, he should have allowed them to go and be Nikim Nik Masoi. So because of that, so he himself fell, and he himself wasn't strong in the Maisa with Melchemes Amalek.
So the person can be brought on his own cover, but here, because he's the king, that cover he cannot be.
The king can never be Melchem on his cover. The Pasuk says, same Tosim Malach and Melach, Melach Shemachal Kavoide, ain't Kavoide Machal. So he's not allowed to. So he should have allowed these people to be put to the death, because they were mevazim. And the Gemara continues and says, "Va'amar Rabbi Yechem Hashem, Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzchak, Kol Talmud Chacham she'ene neikem neiter kenachash, ene Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham who does not avenge and does not, bear a grudge, like a nachash, ene Talmud Chacham is not considered to be a Talmud Chacham." As she says, "Ene neikem nikmasari v'neiter eva kenachash belibay." So he has to go ahead and be nekim v'neiter like a nachash. So Poshup Shat, you step on a snake, it's going to go ahead and it's going to go ahead and bite you, and so on. And the Chidah in the Maseches Tainis says a beautiful pshat. He says, what does it mean? And he's compared to a nachash. So we know the Gemara says about when Chazal speak about lashon hara, they say to the nachash, what hana do you have for biting? We don't have any hana for biting. There's no hana in lashon hara, so to speak. So zok b'chida kol talmud chacham shino nekim v'noiter. But tnai is kenachash. Shouldn't get a hana when you go ahead and you're noikem v'noiter, like if you feel it justified, like the Gemara is going to go through now the discussion exactly when and where, if you feel that it's justified to avenge or to allow other people to avenge your honor and so on, but you cannot have any hana in it. If you feel hana, then you know that you are disqualified. Fred the Gemara, 1 second, Vaksiv Laisi Kaim Laisi Tar. It says you're not to take revenge and you're not to bear a grudge. So how can you say that a Talmud Chacham is allowed and is supposed to be Nekem of a Neiter? Says Gemara, Hahu b'mamenu d'chziv. That is something which is limited to financial matters. D'chziv. Who d'chziv? Excuse me. D'tanya. It says, Nebraisa, Eze Nekima v'Eze Hinetira. Nekima, what does it mean to take revenge? Amalai Shilani Magalcha. So, lend me your sickle. Amalai Lav. No. Lamachar Amarlai Hu Hashilani Kadumcha. Then he says to him, can you lend me your kardim, your shovel, your axe? Amarlai Eini Mashulcha Kadev Shalai Shaltani. You didn't lend me the magal yesterday, I'm not going to lend you the kardim today. Zoi hi Nakima. That is considered to be taking revenge. The Ezoyhi Natira. What is considered to be Natira? Amarlai Shilani Kadumcha. Amarlai Loy. Lend me your garment. I'm not going to be like you yesterday when you didn't lend me the kardim which I asked you for. Zuhi Natira. So the Gemara is saying that Nekima Natira is limited, as you see in the Braisa, to cases of financial things. It's interesting that there are two or three shitas in the Rishonim as to what, you know, what is the rationale behind the issue of leisikoyim. One shot in the Rishonim is, I think it's the Chinuch, who says that everything's min hashamayim. You know, it's all min hashamayim. So, you know, the fact that, you know, he didn't lend it to you, you're going to go ahead and take revenge. It's like showing a lack of emun and bitachon for you to go ahead and try and avenge what he did. It's all min hashamayim. Another shot, maybe the Rambam, who says that, you know, roiv hadvarim ba'olam hazeh are hevel v'rik. It's all nonsense. It's all so unimportant. So for you to go ahead and be nakem over something which is so trivial and so unimportant is ridiculous. Like Gemara is saying now at this stage, and it kind of certainly fits well with that shita, that in yani momen is in yani hevel v'rik and so on, and therefore there's no inyan to be nakem in it. So the Gemara originally now is saying that it's limited only to inyani mamon, but when it comes to other areas, one is allowed, and by a Talmud Chacham, one actually should be noikem v'neitzer to a certain extent. That's the Gemara saying now. Frag the Gemara v'tzara the gufa loy. What, there's no concept of leisikim when it comes to tzara the gufa v'atanya hanelavim ve'enan olvin shemin cherpasan ve'enan meshivin. So those who are insulted, but they don't insult back. So they don't take revenge. Someone has embarrassed you, has harmed you, and you keep quiet. So you hear your disgrace, and you don't respond. And you just keep on going. A person is compared to the sun in its gvura. Some say the comparison to the sun is like the sun originally heard its insult the very first time when the moon said, "What is this business? I'm the same size as the sun." Why is the sun the same size as me? The sun was quiet. you see that even when it comes to being disgraced, harmed, and so on, there's an inyan not to take revenge. Some says the Gemara, la'olam denakit leibelibe, meaning, okay, maybe not to actually go ahead and take revenge, but still, one is entitled to be nakit belibe. You're still allowed to inside remember it. Rashi says an interesting lashon, in three lines down, v'imba acher lin kainik masayu mikiyam mishpat yishtik. If someone else decides to go ahead and avenge, do something for my honor, I keep quiet, you know, let him do it. So you're allowed to go ahead and, you know, at least hold it in your heart. Maybe you yourself shouldn't act on it. And if someone does it on your behalf, you're entitled to do that. Says, which implies that you shouldn't have anything in your heart. You should totally be have a hesef hadas from the whole story. The Gemara says that is the mefais selei umefais. That's in a case where the fellow who wronged you came over to you and tried to appease you, and you were appeased, and so, and then you're not allowed to kind of remember it and act on it, or allow anyone else to act on it, and so on. But short of that, you are allowed to kind of keep it in your heart. And there is a discussion in the Paiskim, Shulchan Aruch Rav and others, as to what extent halacha lemaisa, if someone has wronged you, they've wronged you, not a financial thing, forget it, you're not supposed to have anything, no, it's be mesir das. But it's something where there was a disgrace, a bizoyan, and they haven't asked for any tshuva, kapara, slicha from you, they haven't come over to you. So, you know, at times, and again, they bring other riots which seem to say that a other person should just forget about it and so on, but certainly at times it is justified, especially if the person is a Talmud Chacham, especially if he feels that it would be a zilzul, it would be undermining the Kavanah Torah. The person is allowed to kind of hold on to it and remember it, and if someone decides to act on it, then that at times could even be considered to be appropriate. Okay, we said that in the event that two people came and they tied at the finish line, so then, as we said, very interesting, like the Diak in Rashi from Tesis Yom Tov, in the event that two Kohanim would draw at the finish line, then the Mamuna would say to them, Hatzbiu. He would say to all of them, Hatzbiu, not just the two finalists, the two Kohanim who are the fastest, but all of them would be matzbiya. And the Mishnah would say they would stick out one finger or they would stick out two fingers. So the Gemara says, Hash l'shtayim b'tzien achas miboy. So if you're allowed to stick out two fingers, surely I would know you can stick out one finger. The Gemara says, no. Now, Amar Rav Chisda le'kasha kan b'bari kan b'choyla. Meaning you're not really supposed to stick out two fingers. Really, everyone is supposed to stick out one finger, and one finger only, and the Mamuna will go, and he will come up with a number, 169, and he will start to count, and we will count every single finger corresponds to one single Kayan, and we will see where the number lies and ends. But if a person is unwell, then for a Chayla, we allow him to stick out a second finger. So Rashi says, what's the pshat? Chayla Rashi says, "Ein yachal lechabesh etzba'isav." He's not able to kind of contain his fingers at times. Ukishemaytzi achas yotza chaver te'imo. Sometimes, if he sticks out one finger, the other finger goes out with it. Sometimes it's difficult to do certain movements with your fingers. So, if someone is unwell, if he sticks out one, the other one will come out also. So, an individual who's a chayla is allowed to take two. In other words, the concern is, the Tesis Yom Tov explains that the Kohanim would kind of get in a circle and like a huddle. They get in a huddle, and because they were in such close proximity, all of their hands are together. So because of that, it's difficult to kind of see exactly whose fingers belong to who, and if it's one person or if it's two fingers or two separate people. So really, you're only supposed to stick out one finger. So if we land on one finger, we'll know exactly who it is. But someone who's a chayla, then he's allowed to stick out two fingers. So we say, that's what we say, Leikashi, Kan Bavari, Kan Bechoyla. And the Gemara brings a raya, Vatanya Benichus, we bring a raya, Achas Mitzin, Shtayim Mitzin. A person is not supposed to stick out two fingers, just stick out one finger. The Medvar Mamurin Bavari, Abu Bechoyla, Filo Shtayim Mitzin. If the fellow is unwell, he can stick out two. La Yechidim. And the Yechidim, we'll see what this means, but the Yechidim, they would be Meitzi two fingers. The Eimainalan al Achas, but it was only considered as one. That's the end of the Brayah. So let's just see what Rashi says on the Yechidim. The Yechidim, Rashi says, B'cholin, She'elin Yeshun im Shar B'nei Adam. Ela Sheikh Vinayeshim Levadam. So Rashi says Yechidim is another example of individuals who are not well. It's just that these group of people are sitting all by themselves elsewhere. The Bach says over here, he doesn't like Rashi's pshat, he says a different pshat, and he says towards the end of his Haggah, he says, the Ilu Lepirush, according to Rashi, Hare Kvar Omar Avo B'chaylam, we've already said a chayla is allowed to stick out two fingers. So the Yechidim is just another example of someone who's unwell. Why the necessity to mention two types of cholam? So the Rishash says over here, he quotes the Rash in the Bach, and he says, "Metzach leimer de ene chole kol kach shle yuchal lechabish etzbaisov." He's not so unwell that he's not able to kind of hold back and clench the rest of his fingers. Rag mimneishu hu yechidi leyovo lidei tos sheyimne lashnayim. And because he's sitting all by himself on the bench, so even if he kind of, you know, sticks out his hands like this, you're not going to say 1, 2 and count it as two separate things. Like if he counts 1, 63 and he's just going around counting every single finger, thinking it's one single kayin, even if you stick out two fingers, he's not going to mistakenly count two, because you can see the two finger, you can stick out, you know, 10 fingers like this, he's not going to count 10. He's only going to count it as one. That's why you might have thought there is a difference. At the bottom we said that you're only moina as one. Meaning to say, even if he sticks out two fingers, you only give that person one number. So if he's counting 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 there, and he's going, he gets to a cone, he's got two fingers out, you still only count those two fingers as one. That's what the braisa seems to indicate. And that the Gemara asks the kasha. The ein meinin lay, we said ein meinin lay ala achas, ein meinin lay ala achas. Batanya, ein meinin lay shalish vo lay geidel. One is not supposed to stick out the middle finger together with the index finger, vo lay a geidel, and neither should one stick out the thumb together with the middle finger, with the index finger. Why should you not stick out the thumb mipnei haramoyim? Because of the ramoyim. Now let's just finish. V'mhoitzi shalish meinin loy, and if he sticks out his middle finger, then that is counted separately. That seems to be the stira. We said even if you stick out a second finger, it doesn't get a second number to it, because it's all from the same person. And here it says if he sticks out his middle finger, we do count it. Whereas goidel ein meinin loy, number one, if he sticks out his thumb, we don't count the kayin at all. And number two, v'loyoid elishalike minamamuna bepakia. We give the guy lashes for potentially trying to cheat. So let's just first do the answer. So that we said, if you stick out your middle finger, it's meinin loy, my meinin loy nami achas. It just means that he is counted as one. He doesn't lose. Now, we don't categorically discard him and extract him and exclude him from the vote. We just say, you're included. And if you'd have stuck out your thumb, which is potentially dishonest, as we mentioned, the Tezos Yom Tov, with a thumb, a person can stick out his thumb far away, and he can stick it next to someone else's finger and make it look like he's shy after that. And if he sees, like, the number, if he wants to kind of ensure that the number ends up on him, and he needs one more, so he's going to go ahead and he's going to stick out his thumb next to someone else, and it's going to look as if there's another coin. Remember, they've all got all their fingers are like stuck in like this, so he's going to stick out his thumb at a great distance, and this way he's hoping that they'll say 6, 7, or 8, Baruch Hashem, our number 8, and so on. So that we don't allow you to do because of the potential dishonesty which is involved. So to answer the question, we said that the question was that we only count one number per person. Even if you stick out a second finger, we don't count it as a separate number. The Gemara's kasha was, if a person sticks out the middle finger, we do count it separately. And that was the kasha. And the Gemara answers and says, no, that which it says that you're meinin loy, it doesn't mean that you count it separately. My meinin loy nami achas. It just means that kohen who stuck out the two fingers, the index and the middle, he's included. We don't exclude him for sticking out a second finger. He shouldn't have done it ideally. but we don't exclude him insofar as it's quite difficult to cheat with the two fingers which are next to each other. If he stuck out his thumb, then number one, he's excluded, and number two, he actually gets flogged for it. That is the way the Gemara answers it.
Sorry, just a simple question. Why don't we just count each hand instead of specifying fingers?
Again, why don't we count?
Why don't we just say count a hand as in without separate fingers? As in
you can ask this question in many ways. I mean, why don't we all just hold up a piece of paper or count? Yeah, I mean, surely there must be other ways to avoid dishonest practices. The whole thing seems a bit strange, as the Tzitzis Yontov points out, that they would stick there, they would all be huddled in a circle and stick their hands, their fingers together, and it says that gufa was the reason why it was easy for a person to cheat if you would distance. If one person's fingers over here, and I'm going like this, and I see that I need an extra vote, so I'm going to go like that, which now has the appearance that this finger belongs to a different kind of sticking his fingers in. I don't know, it does seem strange that there couldn't be some other way to do it in a way which would preclude any type of dishonest practices. I'm not sure. Okay, good. So we said, well, oh, the Elish Aleikim in Amamuna, the Pakia. To my mind, Nami Achas, good. My Pakia, what does this mean, Pakia? Amarav, it's a Marda. My Marda, Rabbapa, Mitharka, Tataya. It's basically like a whip of Yishmaeli. Rashi says, Ritzua is Yishmaelim Hasim, Shait Lesusim. So it's something of a whip which was used for a horse, which at the end, it kind of goes out into several strands. The Pasuk Reishi, the Gemara says, the top of it is split into several strands. Om Rabbi Ami Reish, originally, have Amina Hadasnan. Originally, I thought, that which we learned in the Mishnah Shkolem, Ben Bivoy, Mumun al Pekia, that Ben Bivoy was in charge of Pekia. Amina, Psilta, I thought it had to do with wicks. Hadasnan, from the worn out trousers and belts of the Kahanim, Mehen, Hayu Mafkian, they would kind of tear them into pieces, Uben Hayu Madlikin, and they would make wicks. So that's what I thought it meant, that he was in charge of those things. Gave him the Shemana, Laha, the Tanya, Vayayayad al Shalakim, and Amawina Bakia, Samina Mai Bakia, Nagda. That means the individual who was mamuna over these whips which were used to punish the dishonest kehanim. Good. We said maisa, shayu shneim shavin. There was a maisa, and they were both, they were shavin, and they ran up the kevesh. Turn around. Maisa v'shnei kehanim shayu shneim shavin, v'rotzen v'oilen the kevesh. One came 4 amos before his friend, and he won. So what did the loser do? Notel sakin of the takalei belivai. He went and he stabbed him and he killed him. Omed Rabbi Tzadik al Mailes Ulam. So Rabbi Tzadik, who was at the time of the Churban Abayis, we know that Rabbi Tzadik fasted for 40 years. The Abayis shouldn't be charev. So he was b'seif by his sheni. So Omed Rabbi Tzadik al Mailes Ulam. Shimu, listen. We know there's a din of Egla Rufa. If you find a slain individual, the Yates is the Kenecha v'Shivtecha. The Skenim and the Shivtim need to go out, and they need to measure and they need to ascertain which city needs to bring the Egla Rufa. So Anu, in our case, Almi Lahavi Egla Rufa. Who needs to bring the Egla Rufa? Who brings the Egla Rufa? Amilah the Egla Rufa. Alo ear. Is it the ear Yerushalayim which needs to bring? Ayala Azaris? Or is it, you know, for us from the Azara that we need to bring? As we're going to see later on in the Gemara, this was not really a halachic shayla, because it's clear that Egla Rufa does not come from an Azara, it comes only from an ear, and it's only in a situation where you don't know who the murderer was, if they did know. So he was just saying it to bring them to tears. Go, kala am b'chia. And he brought them to tears. Now, ba aviv shal tinaik, u matz aikishu mefarper. So the father of the slain Kohen came and saw that his son was on the ground. He hadn't quite died. So there was still some movement. He was not yet dead. Amar, the father said, number one, Arehu Kaparaschem. My son should be a kapara. Rashi says, Misa say to Kapar Alechem, should be a kapara for you. But he said, Vadayim Farber, my son is still moving. Valay Nitma Sakin. And therefore, quickly remove the knife. This way, the knife will not become tummy. Because once my son dies, so then the sakin, we know, Cherev Kachalal, it will become an Avatuma. So let's do whatever we can to prevent the knife becoming tummy. Says the Gemara, Shlulamedcha Shekosha Aleim Taris Kalim Yesim Ishvichas Damim. Comes to teach us that it was worse in their eyes, the content of Taris Kalim, more so than Shvichas Damim. Meaning his son is being killed, he's about to die, and he's worried about the state of the knife. And the Mashal says over here, I mean, again, this is referring to the period of the Bayesheni. So it says the Mashal, the karu of lechubin Bayesheni shahaya behen harbe shvichas damim. There was a lot of bloodshed. Al yedei pritzei Yisrael. And like the Mashal says, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk from Menashe, speaking about the bloodshed which Menashe did, and the Mashal is going to say, but that was in the Bayis Rishon. We're discussing the Bayis Sheni, and the Mashal, and others say that to the extent that it was so kal, the concept of Shvichas Damim, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, it kind of spread, and even in the school for the Bayis Sheni, there was still some remnant of that callous of Shvichas Damim Beinehem. Al Kofanim, it says, Lamed Chashakash Aleim Taras Kalim Yez Meshvichas Damim. And the way that is the pasuk by the Bayis Rishon, the Gam Damnaki Shafach Menashe Harvim Wade Ad Asher Miles Rishlaim Mipel Peh. Says the Gemara, so we have two stories. One story was of Ratzicha, and one story was one Kayan pushing another Kayan, and he broke his leg. So says the Gemara, Hey Maisa Kodam, which story took place first? So that wasn't enough to trigger a takonis chazal to make a pious anishbar ragloi tkinu. Ella the nishbar ragloi called it. Must be that the broken leg took place first. The cave in the tkinu pious arba amis might be the sign. Well, if they did that already, so then what's this concept of whoever got within four amis? Alolim the Shvichas Damim called him. Read the story of Shvichas Damim came first. Umiyakaris Avakreba Alma, who originally thought it's a one-off. I mean, who goes in and kills someone, you know, to win the race? This is incredible. This type of extraordinary behavior. We're not going to make a takana for some Russia Marusha who goes and kills someone. It doesn't make sense to make a takana for that. Umiyakaris Avakreba Alma, cave and the Chazi Afirim and Meila, so this takana. But once they saw that people were willing to start pushing people and potentially break legs and bones and so on, then Tzakina Rabban and Paisa. Therefore they made a Pais. Amad Tzadik al Mailis Ha'ulam Amrachin Abbas Yisrael. Shimon, listen to what I have to say. Arilayim HaKimat Tzachal Ba'adam. Anan Amil Ahavi Al-Ir Al-Azaris. Freg the Gemara. V'Yushlaim Basa Si'eg La'Rufi. You mean to suggest Yerushalayim is possible to it's possible to be mechayev Yerushalayim to bring an eglah roof of Atanya, a star of the name of Yerushalayim. There were 10 things which were said about Yerushalayim. And this is one of them. Adam of the eglah roof. You don't bring an eglah roof. Why? As Rashi points out, because it says in the parashah of eglah roof, l'rishta, and Yerushalayim was not an eschalik l'shvatim. Phases points out and says, why is that shver? I mean, we could say that we're going like Rebbe Yehuda, who we had in Daf Yubeis in Perek Kama. Yerushalayim is Nischalka L'Shvatim. So Phases says it's a double pasha. We know that you don't bring an Eglah Rufa from Yerushalayim. The whole thing doesn't make sense because there's no tzad that you bring an Eglah Rufa from the Azara. It's Daf Kedin in an ear. The pasuk says, Bahaisa Ha'ir Ha'kreva. it was never really a tzad to say that you bring an egla lufa from Yerushalayim. V'oid, the pasuk says, v'loy noida mi yikol. Ksiv, v'ha noida mi yikol. And here, we know who the villain is, and to the extent that we know who the villain is, so then baita, there's no makam for an egla lufa. And the reason why it was done is to make them very sad and to arouse emotion. The Marsha says over here, he says it really was coming to arouse emotion because there is a kapara for the ir hakroiva al yidei the eglarufa. And here, when we're not able to bring the eglarufa from Yerushalayim and from the Azar, we taka don't have a kapara. Says the Marsha, Avu Bazar of Yerushalayim Kevin Shein Meivim Eglarufa B'mei Yiskar Pradam. So that was good for what he was coming to do. Says the Gemara, very interesting thing. Bo Aviv Shaltinik Umatzik Shemafarper Amar Areka Kaparatchem V'adam Nikayim Lamed Chashakash Aleim Taras Akelam Yis Mishvichas Dam. Okay, that was the Maisik. Close the Gemara into Santa Shaima. Iboilo. Shvichas dam mehuda zal, avotaris kalem kedekaima kaima. Idilma shvichas dam kedekaima kaima, avotaris kalem hi chamira. So one wants to understand what happened over here. The father came along and said, "Quick, pull out the knife so that you're not metama the knife." So the Gemara says, "Coming to teach you, you know that it's coming to teach you." Kashaleim taris kalem yis mishvichas dam. So it says the Gemara, is the pshat that they were mizalzel in human life. I mean, they treated Taras Kalem in the normal way that normal people treated it. It's just that they were mizalzel in human life. Or, says the Gemara, no, maybe Avada they treated human life in the normal way that people treat human life with tremendous severity and tremendous respect. But Taras HaKelem was so, so chomer in their eyes, just on a totally different level. So kind of, you know, what was the norm and what was like above and beyond? The interesting Rabbi Yashiv points out over here and says, V'tzarech bir tuva, my nafkemina, my dezol, my kedekai mekai. It seems a very strange thing. Is it that they were strange people with a warped sense of values, that they couldn't care less about human life? And they viewed Taras Kalem normally, so because they had such a warped assessment of human life, so that's the reason why they cared more about Taras Kalem. Or no, human life was incredible, of course, human life, but Taras Kalem was la'ela la'ela adin shir ad la'afli. Says Rabbi Yashiv with the Nafkemina. So it's a very interesting answer, where he based on a Gemara in Bechiras and Naflamed, where the Gemara says, if you have an individual who is suspect al hashvius, we don't necessarily assume that he's chashad on maisrus. If he's chashad on maisrus, we don't necessarily assume that he's chashad al hashvius. If he's chashad al zeh va'al zeh on both maisrus and shvius, then he's chashad al hataris. Then we have to assume that he will definitely be chashad on being metam hataris. So he says that in a place where they're very machmer and tyrus more than shvichas damim, that will have a nafkamina legabe these types of dinim also. Being that we see the tyrus, if you hush on maestris, and on shvius, then we say hush on tyrus, and certainly if tyrus is very hush of the ene people, so then it can have nafkaminas for some of these dinim. So that's the hara, you know, why, who cares which of the two is more hush. Okay, good. That was the shayla of the Gemara, to which the Gemara says Toshma midika nasiv le la Talmuda v'gam damnaki shatuch menashe shma mina shvichas damim hu dezol v'taras hakelim g'dekai mekaima. Where the pshat is that it was as they very much were mezalzel in human life, and taras hakelim was normal g'dekai mekaima. Tan rabbanim. The next sigur we speak a little bit about the Trumas Hadashin, which, as we saw previously, was the first Avodah. It was the beginning of the day, which, as we saw in the Sigya, on a normal day took place at Kris HaGever, on Yom Kippur, which took place at Chatzeis Laila, and on the regal took place after the first Ashmeira. And that was done every single day. Then there's also the Hoitzos HaDeshen, where they would take the deshen outside of the ear. According to some, it was only done if there was a lot of ash on the Mizbeach. And according to some, it was also done every single day. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Tarabon. Ufashat v'lovash v'gadam achirin. V'hoitzos HaDeshen. So, originally, in reference to the Truma Sadeshin, it says, V'lavash, okay, midei vad, mechnesi vad. So he's wearing the Ksainis, he's wearing the Chasayim, he's mayor of the Deshin. And then it says, he removes his clothing and he wears other clothing, begodim acherim. So the Gemara is picking up on this. V'lavash begodim acherim, v'hoitzos HaDeshin, shemani, k'deach Yom Kippurim. So it seems to be similar to what is found on Yom Kippur. Meaning Shapesha Bigdei Kodesh, where the Kohen Gadol takes off Bigdei Kodesh, Balevish Bigdei Chol, and just like he takes off Bigdei Zav, puts on Bigdei Lavan, and so on. So over here I would say, maybe the Kohen takes off his regular clothing, and he puts on weekday clothing. That's what I might have thought. Talmud Lema, Ufashet Es Begodov, Balevish Begodim Acheire, Makish Begodim Shalevish LeBegodim Shapeshet. So there's a comparison between the two Begodim. Malalon Bigdei Kodesh, Afkan Bigdei Kodesh, both of them are Bigdei Kodesh. Ayin Kein Matam Leimer Acherim. So what's the Lashna of the Godim Acherim? Why tell me they were other, different types of clothing? What's that coming to teach? Matam Leimer Acherim, Pchusin Mehen. The clothing which the Kohen would wear for the Hitzos HaDeshen was of a less caliber. It wasn't as chashuv as the ones which he wore for the Truma Sadeshin. Rashi says, either he would wear ones which were somewhat worn out, or with linen which was not such a superior quality. That is the Tanakhama. Reb Lezer Omer, no. You know what, how you dashen it? You dashen like this. The Pasuk says, Ufashet es begadov, v'lavash begadov acherim b'hoitzi. So we dashen acherim b'hoitzi. Other types of kahanim are b'hoitzi. Which types of kahanim? Linei dala kahanim bali mumin shekshirin loitzi adashin. It's coming to teach us about kahanim or bali mumin that they were allowed to do the hitzos adashin. I'm sorry? Yeah, they would wear the exact same begodim, but they just even bali mumin would do it. So, omamar acherim chusim. The first shot was that they would wear clothing which wasn't as chashev mehen. The Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel, as she brings this in Chumash, the Godim Shabbishal Ben Keteir LaRabbi, La Yimzeg Ben Kes LaRabbi. The clothing which you use to cook the meal, and you've been in the kitchen, and it's steamy and smoky and dirty and so on, don't use that when you actually serve. When you serve your master, look at Rashi over here, across a few lines down, Al Yimzeg ben L'Rabbi Lefi Shnis Ashnu Venis Lachlachu Bevishal Kedera Afkan Linyin Hitzos Adeshen Ein Kved HaMelech L'Shoriz Behen Shiras Acher. The clothing which you use for the Hitzos, don't use it for other things. That is going according to, that's what the Tanakhama says. Now, Amrei Lakish. Mishlagish says, "Kemachlekes b'itzos b'itzah, kach machlekes b'harama." He says, just like there's a machlekes with the hitzah sedeshin, so do there's a machlekes with the harama sedeshin. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, bali mumin can do the hitzah sedeshin. So too, Rabbi Eliezer would say the bali mumin can do the truma sedeshin. That's the way Mishlagish says. Everyone says that the Truma Sadeshin is Aveda. So my time of the Rish Lakish, who says that there's Machlekes if Truma Sadeshin is considered to be Aveda. My time of the Rish Lakish, Amlacha, he says, E sal kadai dech Aveda. You want to tell me Truma Sadeshin is Aveda? Yesh dech Aveda shekshir b'shnei kelim? Well, you only need to wear two begadim? Have you ever heard of such a thing that the Kohen only needs to wear two articles of clothing? He needs to wear four things. And what does the Pasuk say? The love is okay, midei vad, ksenis, or michnesi vad, michnesayim, that's it. He's only wearing two articles of clothing. So clearly it's not avodah. Rabbi Yechanan Nain, Gali Rachmanim, Bakseles and Mimich Masayim, for Dinah Mitznefes Va'avnate. Of course he needs to wear the Mitznefes and the Avnate. It mentions those two, but who are Dinah the other two? So it says, Maishnahani. So why does it need to say this? I mean, from the fact that it says that the Kohen is doing it, I know that he's wearing the big day kohen, all four. Why mention these two at all? So we say now, midoy vad, what do we learn from the fact that it's expressed as midoy vad? Midoy kemidasoy. It's got to be form-fitting. Kohen has to wear form-fitting clothing. And so passing the Rambam, if the Kohen wears clothing which is too big or too small, it passes the avoida. You have to wear clothing which fits you. M'chara, what they now mean to the Kehanim Bezman, as they are those who represent her, you have to wear clothing which fits you nicely, and so on. That is what I'm saying we learn from Midei Vad, Midei Kemidasi. What do we learn from Mechasi Vad? Lechtetanyim Anayishla Yehidav Rakedam Nemechasayim, that's the first thing which you should put on. Shneimar Mechasi Vad Yilbash Al Bisoray. So put on the Mechasayim before anything else. Before the Ksenis, don't put your shirt on first, put the Mechasayim on first. You must put the Mechasayim Al Bisoray. When there's nothing else, says Rashi, other than your flesh, Mechasi Vad goes on first. What does Rish Lakish do with that? Where does he learn this to Dinim? Rish Lakish Midei says, Kemidasei and Echanami, Midafka Rachmana Balash Midei. Taka learns the same thing. Shaloy Yedav Akredim Lemechasayim, Me'al Bisorei Nafka. He also learns that from the fact that it says, Al Bisorei, which is Mashman that he's wearing the Mechasayim, whilst he is Orem, there is nothing on him, El Bisora, other than his actual flesh itself. Just finish with an interesting psak. The Taz, the Shulchan Aruch says like this: person is allowed to walk into the Beis HaKiseh wearing tzitzis. Says the Taz, what does that mean? It means a talis cotton. You can go into the Beis HaKiseh wearing a talis cotton, which is under your clothing and so on. Aval talisei shel mitzvah shalano a talis shel mitzvah, which is useless spilo. Ein nachin. It's not correct. Then the Beis HaKiseh. V'dugma l'davra masha shenina biyuma. Begadim shebishol ben kedei l'rabbi l'yimzig ben kodesh l'rabbi. Meaning that's a special begad which you're using for tefillah. You shouldn't use that when you're in the washroom. So says the Taz. Tavachem l'tala shal mitzvah shim yuchad l'dvar kedusha dafka. And so paskin the Mishnah Berurah. Very interesting. Now, question is, what about going into the bathroom when you are just wearing a talis cotton? Let's say at night, a person is getting undressed and you walk into the bathroom just wearing a talis cotton. So here we have a very interesting deal. So he points out and he says, it's mashma that a talis cotton, you can go into the bathroom, even if it's revealed, even if it's not mechusa. The reason why is because it's not miyud l'mitzvah. However, says the Prima Godim, he says, no. And the Prima Godim says the reason why you're allowed to go into the bathroom wearing a talis cotton is because it's mechusa. It's only because it's covered over. That's why you can go into the bathroom. Mashma, according to the Prima Godim, a person is not allowed to walk into the bathroom with just the tzitzis on, which is exposed. What's the pshat in the Prima Godim? He says, Regishmak. The reason why is because that a talis cotton. What did the Taz say? The Taz said, talis cotton is not made for l'shem mitzvah. Talis gadol is made l'shem mitzvah. So says the Prima Godim, nowadays, a talis cotton is also only made l'shem mitzvah. We don't wear four-cornered garments nowadays. We put on, in our eyes, kind of a strange garment, a four-cornered garment, in order to be mechayev ourselves in tzitzis. So it is really also a beged shel mitzvah. The whole reason why we're putting it on in the first place is for the sake of a mitzvah, and that could be the reason in the psak of the Prima Godim, who says that ideally a person should not go in into the Beis HaKiseh wearing tzitzis and talis cotton, because you're going in with a beged which is miyuchad l'mitzvah. Okay, I'll call it here. Yeah, so mi'ikra din, one is allowed to lashon is ein nachem.